podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
This is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17 to 10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Welcome along to The Punt. It's officially squeaky bum time. Three games left in the Premier League, two to go in the Football League with promotions, relegations to fight for and trophies to be won. We'll preview all six top flight TV games on the podcast. Plus, we'll get a best bet in the Championship, League One, League Two and from across Europe as well. We have Derek McGovern with us as usual. You well, Derek?
Yes, very well. Just licking my wounds after the Manchester Derby result, but yeah. I'll get over it.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Plus, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome the new chairman of the Football Writers Association, Carrie Brown, back to the podcast. Carrie, congratulations on the appointment. Let's just clear that one up first of all. I've seen a couple of interviews and you've been called chair and chairman. What's your preference?
First of all, thank you so much. Great to be back on The Punt. Either can be used. Chairman is an agenda-specific role, so you can have female chairman if you so wish. I was going to go with chairman, to be honest, because I think it's important for people to know that they can be, if you're a woman, you can be a chairman, anyone can be a chairman. But having spoken to a few people, and quite importantly to the widow of Vicky Allvice, who was our vice-chair, and would have gone on to take on this role, I think we're going to go with chair, simply because in the future, as we go forward, there'll be a lot more women who are in that position of chair, and I think just the language is more simpler at chair, and it's certainly what Vicky would have liked. So I'm going to follow on that advice, I think, for now.
So do you think other footballing bodies and governing bodies can learn a lesson here then, Carrie?
I think every association is looking and appreciating that diversity needs to happen and looking to make it happen. I think if we're going to learn anything from what the FWA has done, particularly in the last 2 years, the reality is if you want to bring on change, it's not something you can just wait to happen by osmosis. It's something that you have to take direct action on. Now, Paddy Barclay as chair and with his club secretary or the executive secretary, Paul McCarthy, made some very big and bold decisions, which actually meant having a look at every member on our executive committee and asking ourselves, really, are we contributing enough? Are we relevant enough still to football writing? And there were some very tough decisions to make, and some people did move on and stand down to allow a regeneration to come on. That wasn't an easy decision. It wasn't easy for everyone involved to look at that and assess themselves whether they were relevant or not. And it was a very difficult time, and it was something that was challenging. And we didn't wait for change to happen. We didn't wait for more diversity to come through. We accepted that change had to be made to be more representative. And I think that's the honest situation we're in now. It's not a question of just waiting for change to happen. You have to facilitate change. And it's not easy. And Paddy Barclay and Paul McCarthy and the whole of the executive committee, all those involved, all those present and those past who are still very relevant to our history and to our future, have to be praised for that.
Just one more before we get on with the football this weekend. In this age of blogs and non-stop kind of reporting and social media, do you worry about the standards of football writing across the board? I mean, Derek's been writing about football since before it was invented. And, I'm a trained journalist and I tend to do this sort of stuff more now. But you kind of do look sometimes and think, is it just clickbait? What's your view on that?
It's actually one thing I do want to introduce, and it's one of the three elements I want to add to the FWA if we have time over my role as chair. I think there's an amazing opportunity for young writers out there that they can immediately jump online and start writing. And that's fantastic. And it's really important that, like you, I'm a trained journalist. I'm very grateful to ITN for having me on their training scheme, in which I was taught journalism law, in which I was taught the importance of what you can and can't write, the importance of sensitivity in times of crisis. I think if we look at the New Zealand mosque shootings, I was, for some very strange reason, awake at 3 a.m. in the morning, and I couldn't believe what our colleagues in the world of television were showing on air. I still don't think we got it right back at home. And I think it's really important we have guidelines for anyone that's engaging in social media when they start writing. For those journalists and those writers that are coming into the industry and haven't had that background and training. So what I would like to do is bring in some guidelines, also some guidelines on social media, because I was at the Midlands Football Writers Awards yesterday, which is fantastic, and also organised by Nick Masterf, one of our executive committee members who's changing and reinvigorating the Football Writers Association in the Midlands, and congratulations to him. And I was speaking to managers there about the impact of social media on players. And we believe they're not really impacted at all, and we assume they have big egos and they'll just get over criticism. But that's not the case at all. So there has to be a real an amount of responsibility about what we report, an amount of responsibility about those that take up writing. But I think it's going to be very helpful if we potentially, and there's a lot to look into, set up some guidelines about those coming into the industry, and also how we react to people on social media and how we quantify all those people on social media. If they've got 2 or 3 followers, should we be taking it seriously? Should we be taking seriously what they say? Or should we just be avoiding them for the audience that they really are reaching before we empower them by basically giving voice to their views?
Right, let's look at the football then, shall we? We've got 6 matches this weekend to look at that are televised. Obviously, a few others in the Premier League as well. We're going to start on Friday night, Derek, with Liverpool versus Huddersfield Town. 1-16 Liverpool. The draw 12-1 and relegated Huddersfield 35-1. Huge price for the Terriers, but understandably so. Absolute sickness for Liverpool fans, Derek. Seeing Man City just carry on going, basically. City have got Burnley away and Leicester at home. Liverpool have got this game and then Newcastle away. Liverpool win this. It's by how much, is it?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, they're 1-16, so they obviously win. I mean, you might say, well, 35-1, Huddersfield in the same division, it shouldn't be that in a 3-horse race. But those 35-1 odds imply that if they played 36 times under the same circumstances, Huddersfield would win one of them. Well, I'm struggling to work out when that might be, because they are... But I said this last season, and how on earth they stayed up, I don't know. They're the worst team I've seen in the Premier League, and that includes Derby in that season when they were useless, and Everton every season. Liverpool win this, obviously. They're 1-16. How easily? Well, that's the moot point if you're a punter, because you play Barcelona next week, and I can't see any mileage in Liverpool going 2-0 up and then striving for more goals. It just won't happen. I think it was 3-0 last season, 0-0 at half-time, and Huddersfield, put a decent, resilient performance until they let the first goal in. You can get Huddersfield +3 at 11-8 here. I like the look of that. Not because if Liverpool wants to batter them, they would. I don't think the mileage is in it for Liverpool. I'll keep the powder dry for Barcelona in midweek, because that's a bigger game now. Now that the title pretty much looks beyond them, I think. The Champions League becomes more important. So I can see Jurgen Klopp resting a few here. I really can. Can I just make a point, by the way, about Mo Salah last week, the dive. I'm a Liverpool fan, and that was a dive. It was an absolute dive, and I'm tired of seeing it from Mo Salah. You know what? I had the snooker on one telly and the match on another telly. There was a push shot in the snooker, and Mo Salah went down. As a Liverpool fan, it just sticks in the craw, and I'm sorry. There's a million Mo Salah fans out there. I'm definitely not one of them. I think it spoils every time you get a victory. Oh, but another thing I meant to say, by the way, he's been accused of diving 4 times this season, Mo Salah. In 3 of those matches, he was the penalty taker because James Milner wasn't playing. In the 4th, last week, Milner had only just come on. Salah probably hadn't noticed. So what I'm trying to say is he only going down
there's a conspiracy theorist around Salah diving to get himself penalties?
Yeah, yeah. He dives only when he's the penalty taker.
Yeah, I was hoping I'd come on there. Then I rarely do this anymore, and you'd change your mind about Salah, because I've got a lovely stat about Salah. I love a daft stat, and here's one about Friday night games for Liverpool. They've won 4 of the last 5 top-flight home games on Fridays. And Salah scored in all three of his Premier League games for Liverpool on a Friday. So I thought you'd like that. But
Where was he when we played Arsenal in 1998?
Not good memories for Liverpool fans again. On the goal scoring front, Mane has scored 9 goals in his last 8 home Premier League games as well. So obviously, Mane and Salah have to be in your thoughts. If you're looking at goal scorers, this has to be an open and shut case, really, Carrie, in terms of a result. Liverpool unbeaten in 14 Premier League games, winning each of the last 6 in a row, 38 league games without defeat at Anfield, which is the longest in Premier League history, and Huddersfield are winless in the last 11 away league games. It's impossible to see anything other than Liverpool win here, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Salah's been flying around the world to pick up his Times Award, and so he hasn't been involved in all the training sessions in the build-up to this. Maybe there's that glimmer of hope. But I was actually at the Cardiff City Stadium for that match, and Liverpool just seem unshakable. They knew they were going to get their breakthrough. They are flying forward, and I do appreciate that the dive situation, because there was an arch to the back, wasn't there? And Salah definitely made the most of it. But the situation has to be in this day and age that he's made the most of it. But you've got to say the grappling on Mo gave the referee the decision to take, and that's a very dangerous thing to do with Mo Salah.
What are you going for then, Derek? What's your bet in this one?
I'm going Huddersfield plus 3 at 11-8.
Huddersfield plus 3. Carrie, would you go for a correct score?
Everyone's looking for the moment, aren't they? They're looking for the big shock, the big surprise. I can't see anything more than maybe 2-0, if I'm being kind, maybe 3.
Yeah, well, 2-0 is 13-2, and 3-0 is 5-1. I think the 2-0 is probably along Derek's thinking there as well with the plus 3. So 2-0 correct score at 13-2 looks like it's got every chance of landing. Before we move on to the rest of the TV games during the weekend in the Premier League, let's get a European nap from Sam Norris first.
Nothing really knocked the eye out in the European top flights this weekend, so I'll drop down a level for the nap and go to Ligue 2 for this week's best bet. It's a busy Friday night as ever in the French second tier, and the form team in the Division 3 look attractively priced as the outsiders when they head to Orléans. 13-8 about the visitors has to be of real interest considering they've cruised to 5 successive league wins, only conceding 1 goal along the way. They're also now unbeaten in 10 games, a run stretching back to early February, and of those 10 games, they've won 8 of them. This late season burst has come too late for 3 in terms of an automatic promotion place, and they'll now take their chance in the playoffs regardless of the results here. Orléans, on the other hand, have a greater need for the points. They're on the outside of the playoffs looking in, having fallen 4 points behind their rivals after back-to-back defeats. While the hosts will be more desperate for the win on paper, only backing teams that need a result at this stage of the season can be a route to the poorhouse, and they may well have pushed the panic button after 2 defeats, and a visit to the form dogs in the division is not what the doctor ordered to get back on track here. I'll take 3 to keep their impressive end to the season going at a juicy 13-8 this week.
Saturday, 12:30, Tottenham take on West Ham. Tottenham, of course, playing for third place, and a win here will mean that they get that. West Ham are safely in 11th place and maybe playing to become the best of the rest, but maybe that looks unlikely as well. Carrie, start with you on this one. Tottenham, obviously, in Europe, as Derek was saying about Liverpool, maybe the eye will be on the European game rather than this one. The 2-5 to win the match, 4-1 the draw, and West Ham 13-2. Do you think they can slip up against West Ham, a team that they tend to beat more often than not?
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's always that famous match, wasn't there, at the London Stadium when West Ham ended Tottenham's title run. But I just don't see that. I actually don't see another team beating Tottenham in the Premier League this season. Either White Hart Lane in their midweek game against Brighton, and even though they were tired, they were leggy, in my opinion. Christian Eriksen wasn't his normal hungry self, chasing down every ball. But despite that, they were persistent. I think they had 29 shots before they scored. Eriksen's was 29th shot before they actually got the winner on the 88th minute. And their persistence and their belief and their patience that they would finally make the breakthrough did come. And resilient and brilliant defending from Brighton. But what could have made other clubs quite nervy under the pressure to finish at top four after those three games against Manchester City. I just can't see anyone getting past them, even the niggling West Ham.
Derek, you tend to agree with that. I mean, West Ham have been pretty pretty poor against the big six opposition recently. Lost the last six away league games by an aggregate score of 16-3. So they don't tend to perform well against the better clubs in the division, West Ham.
No, I can't remember them performing well against anybody of note recently. And the league form stuttered so badly, it was in danger of figuring the King's Speech too. They've just been awful. And you'd have to say, you know, considering the outlay they made in the summer, it's been a terrible season for them. Pellegrini's tactics are clearly not working. And that's a big surprise because I wasn't aware he had any. I can't have West Ham. This is a bit of a derby match, I know, but if I was a West Ham player, I'd be looking at the beach. Spurs will win this. 2-5, they should do. I think I'll go Spurs to win to nil. Get you the shade of odds against for that one.
Yeah, Spurs to win to nil. Looks a interesting bet there. Moving on to Brighton versus Newcastle. Brighton 3 points clear of the drop zone. Have got a better goal difference than the teams below them. 11th is the best that Newcastle can do, and that'll be some performance if they can manage to pull that one off. It looks like a low scorer, this one, Derek, according to the stats. Newcastle have failed to score in all three of their Premier League games with Brighton. And Brighton have failed to score more than once in the last 10 Premier League home games. Might not be one to get too excited about. If you're looking at goal scorers, Perez has come into his own recently, scored 6 in his last 6 Premier League games. In fact, Perez and Rondon's on 9, never scored double-figure goals in a Premier League season, Rondon. The Newcastle's two highest scorers this season. The last time two Newcastle players scored 10 or more goals in a single top-flight campaign was back in 2011-2012 when Demba Ba and Papi Cisse were the strike force. So it just shows how much they've been lacking in goals of late. Do you expect this one to be a low scorer, Derek?
No. Brighton's record, their scoring record's on a par with mine. They're now known as Brighton nil. When was the last time they scored? I can't remember. And they've still got problems here because Cardiff, even though Cardiff never seem to win a game either, they're creeping up on them somehow. No scientist has been able to explain that. Newcastle are safe now. I just can't see them being at it. Brighton will probably win, but it ain't going to be a feast. You know, it's not going to be for the purists. This we'll probably see, because as I said, we'll probably see Mike Ashley sitting among the away fans this weekend, and that is sad. He's probably among the home fans too. I just can't have this game at all. I don't fancy it at all, but I do fancy Brighton 1-0.
Brighton 1-0, yeah, it looks like a scoreline that few people want to get involved in. What are your thoughts on this one, Kerry? With some of the other big games this weekend, it doesn't maybe grab the attention, but obviously crucial for Brighton.
Yeah, it's an absolute lifesaver for them. And I think Chris Hughton's attack of really sitting back and taking their chances, it won't wash against Newcastle. They know they've got to win this. So I am expecting a more exciting, a more expansive game from Brighton, because they simply have to adopt that strategy if they're going to survive. They also need goals. I think it's 5 matches now that they haven't scored and are desperate for them. They haven't scored in 7 matches in all competitions, in fact, because they've taken their cup run, and that's got to be a real grave concern for them. I think also, though, the one thing I was impressed with in that match is their defensive abilities. It was all one way. It was quite ridiculous. I think 82% possession, but they really did keep at one stage, and they really did keep their nerve. There were some fantastic clearances on the line, particularly to save Dele Alli. Matty Ryan had a fantastic game. He saved a shot, and then Duffy came and cleared off the line, and Dele Alli was wondering how on earth he didn't manage to score from that. So they do have this solid back line, but what they desperately need is goals. And I think maybe with a more expansive approach, which they're going to have to go for, they could get the win.
The price for the Brighton win is 13-10. The draw is 21-10. Newcastle 12-5, and that 1-0 that Derek likes to Brighton is priced up at 11-2. To Sunday now. Let's have a look at Leicester City versus Arsenal. First of all, this is the 12 o'clock kickoff. Leicester are 17-10. The draw is 13-5, and Arsenal are priced up at 6-4. Loads of enhanced odds on this game, as there are with every match over the Premier League weekend. And you can use your Bet Boost as well. If you log in to the William Hill website or on the app, you'll be able to just click the yellow and black button and your price will get boosted when you put it in your bet slip for trebles and bigger. Interesting one, this one. Leicester, well, playing for the best of the rest, I guess, really. And Arsenal, obviously the European thing may be another one to take their eye off the ball in the Premier League, but they're playing for that kind of fourth, fifth, sixth position, you'd guess. Leicester have only won one of the last 24 Premier League meetings with Arsenal, Carrie. Interestingly enough, that was last season, this exact fixture, and they won it 3-1. They've been very poor at home, Leicester, though. Lost 8 games this season. They've kind of lost a lot and won a few. Do you think Arsenal get back on track here? That defeat in midweek to Wolves, who love beating a top six side or giving them trouble. Think Arsenal will bounce back and get something at Leicester?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for them because I think Aubameyang coming back into the Arsenal side, so that's always going to make them a far more potent threat for that match. It's the 12 noon kickoff as well on Sunday, isn't it? Which is always a little bit tricky for the players to get started and to get going. But Arsenal really struggled without the absence of Aubameyang, but they're a completely different animal with him. And so I think that might just prove too much for Leicester, and it could be a bit of a knock-on with that defeat to Wolves as well.
Derek, interesting enough, the two things there that Carrie mentioned, the 12 o'clock kickoff. Arsenal never lost a Premier League game that's kicked off at 12 noon. Winning 15 and drawing 4. And Aubameyang has scored 3 goals in his 2 league games against Leicester. Averages a goal every 40 minutes against the Foxes. So there may be 2 angles in there. What do you reckon to Arsenal at the minute?
I think absolutely diabolical. I mean, this is a match between a team who could finish 7th this season, be made up to finish 7th this season, against a team who will be made up to finish 7th next season, Arsenal. They're only going one way at the moment. I read somewhere that Mesut Ozil, when he joined Arsenal, it was to win trophies. Who said Germans had no sense of humour? I just can't have them away from home. We've said this so often. And one of the reasons I paid for my holiday this year is opposing Arsenal on the road. It's only at Butland's, mind, but still. the manager is under pressure as well. He shouldn't be, because, you know, he's inherited a sad bunch, but he will be. He's called for a team performance this week, preferably in other teams. I've got to go for Leicester. Well, you know, it depends. You've got to, you know, is seventh place something a target for them? Because, of course, seventh could get them a Europa League spot if Manchester City win the FA Cup, which they probably will. Do they want a Europa League spot? Does anybody? I don't know. But I'm still going for Leicester here against Arsenal. And to be honest, I know that Arsenal are a few points ahead of Leicester, but if you choose to play at Wembley in an FA Cup final on neutral ground, I'd rather back Leicester than Arsenal. I just can't have the Gunners with your money, Lee.
There's not much of it, so you're fine with that. Arsenal 6-4 to get the win. The draw 13-5, and Leicester at home 17-10. Jamie Vardy to score, and Leicester to win was 5-2. That's now 3-1, and Vardy scored 6 goals in his last 7 against Arsenal. He's only got a better scoring record against Liverpool than the Gunners. He scored 7 against the Anfield mob and 6 against the Gunners. So that might be worth a look if you're going down the same road as Derek there. 3-1 for Vardy to score and Leicester to win. Burnley versus Manchester City next up. This is the second of the Sunday TV games. This one kicks off at 2:05. Burnley are 18-1 at home. The draw 7-1 and Man City are 1-7. Winless in the last 7 meetings with City in all competitions, Burnley are. Interesting one here, Derek. Like I said, I love a daft stat. City have beaten Burnley 5-0 twice this season already in all competitions. No team has ever scored 5 or more goals against another team 3 times in a single season. That sounds like one of those little records that City will just pick up and put in the pocket. You know, they've collected so many of those records over the last few years, haven't they?
They have, yeah. And they probably will, because that game in midweek against Man United, you thought, as a Liverpool fan, I thought, you know, they might drop a point here, you know, a couple of points here, rather. And it was a cakewalk for them. And that was Man United away. This is Burnley away. Why won't they do the same? Burnley are uncommitted now because, you know, they're safe, albeit not mathematically, but they're safe. Man City -2 goals is even money. Lee, it's just like finding money in the street, that.
Yeah, City minus two, so they need a win by three clear goals or more to land that bet, and it wouldn't be a big surprise given that stat I've just mentioned. Interesting one, Kerry, that 17 of City's 22 goals in all competitions against Burnley have come in the second half of matches, including 8 of the 10 that I've mentioned already this season, which tells a story that Burnley do keep it tight in the first half and they just get broken down by City eventually. I can see a similar thing happening there. Maybe it might not be a romp in the first half for City.
Yeah, I expect a similar thing though with Manchester City against Tottenham at the Etihad, and then nothing quite went as expected.
Yeah, true.
That was an extraordinary night. So I dare not predict anything when it comes to Manchester City. After that, it just the sequence of events. The really interesting thing with this match, in fact, is that I think it's Fernandinho being maybe a bit of a doubt. He came off with a muscular injury in that match, didn't he, in the second half against Manchester United. So they're always a bit of a different team with him. Just sometimes seem a little, it's remarkable to say about Manchester City, a little disjointed. So I think probably because of that, they will have probably a fairly cautious start, size up Burnley and keep their patience, much as pretty much Tottenham did against Brighton in midweek as well, and then try and go out firing at the end. But I think Manchester City are quite simply unstoppable now. Now they're out of the Champions League, they will want to win this Premier League with aplomb, I think, and make sure they get all the plaudits they deserve. Of course, there's a few things still up for votes as well, with the FWA rounds of voting ending on Sunday. Then I'm sure that Raheem Sterling might want to get his name on the team sheet once again. He's very much a favourite in that. So lots of reasons to be making a statement from Pep Guardiola. So I do not think it will be a comfortable day for Burnley.
1-4 City are to win the title now. Liverpool 3-1 going into this weekend's games. That draw at half time, Man City at full time, double result bet is 16-5 if you do fancy Burnley to keep it tight until the half time break, and then City to win in the end. It might not be the worst bet of all time, that one. The final game that we'll look at is Manchester United versus Chelsea, one of the games that people look forward to in the Premier League. There's not an awful lot on it here, though, unfortunately, this time round. Both playing for places behind the top three, effectively, and United have gone on to a real poor run of form, Kerry, haven't they? I mean, people calling for, Solskjaer should never have been given the job. It's amazing how fickle, social media is. And it wasn't a few weeks ago that he was the best thing since sliced bread, and United fans were happy with the appointment. Now everything seems to have changed with this run of results that they've been on. What do you reckon to this game? United are 13-8 to win it. Chelsea are 12-5 and 17-10 for Chelsea away, who've got their own issues, really, I suppose, going into the end of the season. What do you expect to happen here?
The one thing that you can rely on is the absolute uncertainty of these two teams. Neither can decide which day they're going to turn up and how well they're going to play. And it seems so fragile and so delicate with both of them. A colleague of mine has been telling me about the big Chelsea comeback and that they're going to secure top four. And one week he's completely right and another he's well off the mark. I think the interchanging of both of these teams has got a lot to do with the mentality and a lot to do with the issues off the pitch rather than the issues on it. They're certainly line up the quality of the players and they can all put on a performance of the day. But I think the one thing that Solskjaer did when he came into that team was rally them around, get them fighting as one together. And I think just as the transfer window's coming up, the egos are bubbling back to the surface and that appears to be causing some discontentment. And that's why things are becoming so disjointed on the pitch. If he wants to rally his team together, you would have imagined we would have seen that against Manchester City, and we simply didn't. So it's going to be an interesting one to size up on the day. In terms of the players and the players you put out on the pitch, I think Chelsea right now might have the more solid cohesion. I think they may have the quality that would be able to counter Manchester United, but I'm not convinced either way. That's the problem with these two teams.
Sounds like you're going for a draw.
I am.
Yeah, 12-5. It's probably the safest option in a sense, Derek. Chelsea have got a poor record against fellow Big Six sides. They've lost all four this season and the last six away games against the other Big Six. The last four this season by an aggregate score of 13-1. Unbelievable record, really. It kind of brings back to memory that the manager's comments about their, the temperament, I guess, and whether they've actually got that thing you need when you're playing again in these big matches. Again, Europe round the corner again. What do you reckon to this one, Derek? There's value in every option here. Just pick the right one for us.
Yeah, which obviously I won't. Well, I'm surprised at Chelsea's record against that Big Six there. I didn't realise it was that bad, but I don't think these days you could include Man United in the Big Six the way they're playing. I mean, you used to say in the Manchester derby you could never rely on form. These days you can never rely on United. That performance in midweek was an absolute joke. Half the players for United right now, they wouldn't look out of place at Fulham or Cardiff or something like that. I mean, Jesse Lingard, he's the kind of player under Ferg you might get a bit of a run out for a few seasons. Then he's a few games, you realise he's not up to scratch and he'll be palmed off to Preston, something like that. And yet these players are getting regular first team action. I think Chelsea are certainties, I do. They've disappointed me a few times, cost me a few bob this season, but if they played their best and Man United played their best, Chelsea would win convincingly. And a little side note to this game, the PFA Team of the Year was announced this morning. This is Thursday. Paul Pogba was in it. Eden Hazard wasn't. Worked that one out.
Unbelievable.
It's absolutely joking. If Chelsea don't win this, I might well consider giving up gambling, Lee, and that's the last thing you want to hear. When I say you, I obviously mean Mr. William Hill.
Yeah absolutely. Speaking of those two players, Hazard to score and Chelsea to win is one of the enhanced odds here. Was 3-1, now 7-2. And Pogba to score and Man United to win was 7-2, now 9-2. Loads of other enhanced offers there on the Man United-Chelsea match page, whether you're looking on the williamhill.com website or on the app. Time to get a best bet for the weekend. I remember being drafted in at this sort of time last year, Derek, and we managed to pull off a winning treble. So there's no pressure. What are you going for, Derek? You can pick from any of the, obviously it's TV games and the rest of the Premier League as well. The other games, Crystal Palace Everton, Fulham Cardiff, Southampton Bournemouth, Watford Wolves, and then the six TV games that we've talked about.
I'm going to go for Leicester, 17-10 to beat Arsenal.
Interesting one. Very good. Kerry, is there one result there, as we've been talking, that you fancy?
Can I go with a player rather than the result?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what is it?
Right, sat among the pigeons. Just had an idea. Eden Hazard hat-trick.
Oh, dear. Hat-trick? That, for a treble, that is going some. let me have a look. Let me just see what he is to score, first of all, and then we can maybe... The hat-trick price will be... Give me a second. I'll find the hat-trick price anyway.
As I go through draw, I've just rapidly contradicted.
65-1 for the hat-trick. Yeah, it'd have to be a 3-3 draw, obviously. But if we just go for him to score any time, for the purposes of the treble, we'll go for him to score any time, which is priced up at 6-4, which is a fair enough price. I am going to go with the Liverpool-Huddersfield game, and I fancy that bet that you put up, Derek. Was it +3?
+3, 11-8.
I think Liverpool will try and keep it fairly tight and we'll just get the job done. So the +3 handicap, I can't believe I'm agreeing with Derek. This is terrible. When you said it, I thought, yeah, I can see that happening now. Cue me sweating like mad when it actually comes to it. But 11-8 looks a very fair price for that bet. And it could be quite nervy for Liverpool now. Just while we're waiting for that treble to load up, let me just tell you about the Super Odds treble this weekend. Southampton, West Brom and Luton all to win. Was 5-1, not 6-1, now 7-1. You can bet up to a fiver on that. It's available online only, so check that one out on the Premier League page, on the app or the website. Southampton, West Brom and Luton all to win. The Super Odds Saturday treble, 7-1 for that one. Our treble... which is Leicester at 17-10, Eden Hazard to score any time at 6-4, and Huddersfield +3 at 11-8 comes out at just a smidgen over 15-1. You can boost that up if you're logged in with a positive balance to 16.8-1, so almost 2 points up to 17-1 for that treble. Leicester to win, Eden Hazard at 6-4 to be any time scorer, and Huddersfield +3 goals on Friday night. Thank you very much, Carrie. It's been great to talk to you. Thank you for your time and congratulations once again on the appointment. We'll hear from you again soon, no doubt. Derek, thank you very much. Good luck with your bets and good luck for you as a Liverpool fan that Burnley do you a little bit of a favour this weekend.
Yes, it is hoping. Thanks, Lee.
Thank you. Cheers for your time. Bye. Now time to dip into the Championship, League One and League Two, where there is plenty to be resolved still. We're going to hear from Pete Farries, Gav Pujolowski and Al Ross.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and for my Championship nap this week, I think West Brom are a phenomenal price at 63-100 to beat Rotherham. We all know what Rotherham have done on the road all season. West Brom have been scoring plenty of goals, and Rotherham, to be fair, have turned a little bit of a corner in terms of at least performances on their travels too. West Brom, of course, got that big win with goals for both sides the other day. That's where I'm going again, 15-8. Is an absolutely ludicrous price for West Brom and both teams to score. Rotherham, we oppose them on the road all the time. I could go through every single result, barring, of course, wins, for example, against QPR. But ultimately, West Brom and both teams has been a big lander this season, and at 15-8 will be a big lander again. That's my nap for the Championship this week. It's West Brom and both teams to score at 15-8. Let's head over to Gav Pujolowski and get his thoughts on League One.
It's the penultimate weekend in League One, and I'm focusing on a game where two teams going head-to-head have still got something to play for. It's not the top of the table, it's the bottom of the table I'm looking at, with Wimbledon at home to Wycombe Wanderers. Wimbledon still in the relegation zone. Wycombe Wanderers just a few points and a few places above them, still could get sucked into the bottom four. Now, Wimbledon are drawing too many games, but decent draw at Luton midweek 2-2. That's the slight concern with backing Wimbledon to win, as I am at 29-20. But their form has picked up under Wally Downes. They're more difficult to beat, and in their last six games at home, they've scored first in every single game. And I think if Wimbledon get their noses in front in this one, then they'll beat Wickham, because Wickham have lost six of their last seven games on their travels, and Wimbledon won 2-1 at Wickham. I think there'll be goals in this one. Over 2.5 goals at 11-10 is a play, and both teams score at 4-5. But my nap for League One this weekend is Wimbledon at 29-20 at home to Wickham. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
There's a few really interesting ties in League Two this Saturday in the fight for promotion and against the drop, but the real value is on one of the biggest home prices there is this weekend. That is Newport at 13-8, because they are still in a fight and opponents Lincoln are not. Lincoln are champions, home and hose done and dusted and winless in three. They were promoted with a draw, then they lost, then they won the title with a draw, and now they're away at a Newport side gunning for the playoffs. Just where's the incentive? Newport might be 11th, but they have a game in hand, which means they are guaranteed a playoff berth if they win all their last three games. The last team to win at Newport, by the way, was Manchester City. That was in the FA Cup back in February. So with this home form, you've got to be looking at it. There's no way Northampton should be 6-5. No way Crewe should be 2-1. Make it a treble. It's bigger than 16s. But the best bet this weekend is simply Newport on the outright, and that is 13-8.
Thanks to the chaps then. So all coming down to these last few weeks for the definite promotion and relegation places. Obviously the playoffs to come in the Football League as well. Enjoy your weekend of football. Make sure you check out all the enhanced odds on williamhill.com or the app, and make sure you use your daily bet boosts as well throughout the weekend. And we'll be back next week for more. Until then, if you're having a bet on anything this weekend, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.